Welcome to this week's edition of Outdoors Online, a weekly webcast produced by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department. I'm your host, Mike Anderson. My guest this week is Fisheries Management Section Leader, Scott Gangle. Today we're going to talk about fall fish reproduction surveys. Scott, what are these surveys?
Well, in the fall, our biologists go out and they sample a lot of our lakes around the state looking for what we call young of the year fish. And those are fish that were either stocked or reproduced this year. And it gives us an index of how well those stockings took or survived, how well those fish survived into the fall, or whether there was any natural reproduction on some fish species, how well that occurred, and how fast those fish are growing, because size going into the winter is an important factor in fish survival. And so our biologists go out in the fall, usually around the end of August or early September. They'll start with these surveys and they'll go into the fall.
How are these surveys conducted, Scott?
Well, it's very similar to our adult surveys. They use nets. They'll use gill nets or trap nets, but they use a much smaller mesh size. So they're targeting really small fish. So these fish are, you know, six inches long or less, and they're targeting them with smaller gears, looking for just those young of the year fish or forage species in some instances. And a lot of our natural lakes, we're looking at fathead minnows as well. So we use small gears looking for small fish just to kind of see what's out there for forage and natural reproduction and stocking.
There's a lot of lakes, 450 lakes. How many lakes do they do typically in an average year?
They don't get to all of them every year. We kind of have to prioritize because there are so many lakes to get to. So they might ask a lot of questions about some of our more utilized lakes, some of our heavily fished lakes. They're going to get to those for sure, because this information really factors into what they're stocking next year, what their plans are for the future and that sort of thing. Or they might have a new lake that they just stocked for the first time this year, so they want to go out and see how that did. They might have a lake where they suspect natural reproduction is occurring. They might target that lake. So they get to less than half of the lakes on an annual basis for these fall surveys. They're not as high of a priority as the summer surveys, where we're looking at the adult fish population. So they get to fewer of them, but they do prioritize and get to the ones that we really want the information on.
Are we surveying any rivers?
We do. We do the Missouri River from Garrison Dam down to Lake Oahe. We do that annually, and we use a little bit different technique on that. We use electrofishing, which is just the electricity from a generator is put into the water, and it just stuns the fish. And they're able to just net them, measure them, count them, and then release them alive, because it's just a temporary stunt. And they do that because they're able to sample the flowing water. They can't set a net in the river because of all the current and the debris and stuff. So they use this electrofishing where they're just able to drift downstream with the current, typically, and sample the fish that way.
What is all this data used for?
A lot of it factors into stocking decisions for next year. We like to see how well our stocking success is from this year. It tells us, you know, did we have a really good year class? Was there good survival? Things like that. So if we know that there's good survival this year, we might be able to take a year off next year. Or if we know that there's good survival on a new walleye fishery, we can kind of monitor how fast those fish are growing. In some cases, it gives us information on how fast those fish grow that first year of life, which is really important to get them through that first winter. So we can kind of see if we stock fish in a lake and they're really small going into the fall, but we don't see them surviving the following year, then we kind of have, we can look back and look at that, and that kind of gives us a clue as to what some of the factors are that are affecting these populations. But the other thing too is in the fall, knowing what kind of forage we have out there factors into what we run the stock next year too. In a lot of cases, we look at some of our walleye lakes and our stocking plans are kind of guided by what we have for forage. And a lot of the natural lakes around the state, the prairie sloughs, the potholes in the central and north central, south central, and eastern part of the state, we have fathead minnows as the primary forage. And so a lot of our walleye stockings in those places are guided by forage abundance. Perch stockings are also guided by fathead abundance, because where we introduce new perch fisheries, we tend to try to target lakes that don't have a lot of fathead minnows in there already, because they can outcompete the perch, and so on. So a lot of that information is used to guide our management in the future. And then, like I said, we can look back and see why certain stockings may have failed and that sort of thing.
Okay, it's been a cool, wet summer. How does that help with fish reproduction?
Well, certain fish are adapted to cool water temperatures. And so this summer was probably cooler and wetter than a lot of recent years that we've seen. And what we feel happened this summer was we had really good conditions for those fish that were stocked. Usually one of the things that our folks that are stocking fish run into as they're stocking, you know, we stock pike around the end of May, early June, and then start walleye around the end of June into the first part of July. And what they usually run into is if we get a warm summer, the water temperatures warm up, you can see when those fish go into the water that they're really stressed. This year, the water temperatures were nice and cool throughout the stocking season. Walleye and pike especially are cool water fish, so they thrive under cool conditions. And they never really warmed up terribly warm this summer. So those fish went into the lakes under optimal conditions. They had good growing conditions all summer. Lots of new water this year. You know, we were starting to dry out last year. This year we saw quite a bit of snow this winter, snow melt. Some of our lakes came back up. We saw some new flooding taking place. So we had lots of food out there. So cool water, lots of food was really good conditions for pike and walleye. Some of our other fish, like bass, bluegills, crappies, those fish are more of a warm water species, and they prefer warmer temperatures. And so what we're seeing is some really good reproduction, but the fish are a lot smaller, they're not as big, and we may not see as good survival to establish those year classes through this winter.
Like you just said, Scott, some of the fish thrive in warmer temperatures, some thrive in colder temperatures. Your crews have been out the last couple weeks and will be out the next couple weeks. What are they finding?
Yeah, we're kind of right in the middle of the fall surveys as they're taking place. You know, right now as we're visiting here, the guys that have been out on some of our shallower lakes, they're seeing pretty good numbers. They saw kind of like what we would expect. The walleye numbers are pretty good in most places. They're growing really well. Fish up to eight inches are fairly common in some of our lakes, which is really good growth for young of the year walleye. And then some of the other the reservoirs, some of the less productive waters, they're seeing, you know, variable numbers of fish, but the sizes are a little bit smaller, but not out of the ordinary small, but they tend to be a little bit smaller in some of those less productive systems. As far as bluegills, bass, crappies, things like that, like I mentioned, they're a warm water species, so the few results that I've seen so far show really good numbers of fish in some places, but the sizes are small. And they can be really susceptible to the cold winters and stuff, so we'll have to see how they do this winter. But if they're small going into the winter, they may not have the energy reserves to make it through the winter. So we may not see really good year classes established. And these fall surveys, they give us an indication of how good conditions were this summer. But we still have to get those young fish through their first winter, through that first winter of life, to say that they recruited to the population. So we still have a little ways to go, but the bigger you are going into that winter, the better off you can be to survive that winter. And so I think some of those lakes where we saw good walleye sizes, they'll probably do pretty well. And some of our other lakes with smaller panfish might not fare as well.
Let's move into the big three lakes. I know they're just starting the surveys. Typically in mid-August, you guys do hydroacoustic surveys on Lake Sakakawea for smelt. What did that look like this year?
You know, it takes quite a while to work up the data, so I don't have the actual data. I haven't seen what the guys found. They actually just did that. They did it a little bit later this year because they try to target the new moon in August. So it was towards the end of August, and they just wrapped it up a couple weeks ago. But what they were seeing, and what a lot of reports were seeing this summer, were lots of young of the year smelt out there. It looks like this was another good year, just anecdotally, for smelt reproduction on Lake Sakakawea. People this summer were finding small young of the year smelt in walleye stomachs, and that's what the guys found too during their adult walleye netting on Sakakawea in July. And so it looks like it was a good year for smelt reproduction on Sakakawea this year.
Any other species on Lake Sakakawea that?
Well, again, the surveys are not complete yet. They're going to finish them up this week. So I was talking to the guys last week, and it sounded like there was pretty decent numbers of walleye out there. We did stock it this year with something like 1.9 million fingerlings, so it looks like we had pretty good numbers of fish out there. And Sacagawea can actually pull off pretty good year classes on its own in most years. So our stocking efforts are focused on just kind of supplementing what's out there, and whatever we get is going to be a combination of natural reproduction and stocking. But it sounds like there was pretty decent numbers, and I think they saw good numbers of fish on the east end too, which is where a lot of the fish were stocked. So it looks like Sacagawea might have a fairly good number of walleye out there. I haven't seen information on the other species yet, but we had high water this summer, and I think conditions in Sacagawea were pretty good for a lot of fish.
Okay, let's move on to Devil's Lake.
Yep, the guys are just wrapping up Devil's Lake this week too. I talked to them on Friday, and it sounds like they were seeing pretty good numbers of walleye. It looks like their young of the year walleye catch is pretty much close to the long-term average. So that means that's probably going to be producing a fair to moderate year class if those fish survive to age one. The downside to Devil's Lake, they're not seeing much for young of the year perch, and we could use a perch year class up there. There's not a lot of small fish in the system, and they didn't see a lot of young of the year fish. So we'll see what that brings for the future, but right now it looks like walleye are at least at average numbers, if not a little bit above.
Okay, and let's move on to Lake Oahe.
They didn't find much on Lake Oahe to be hopeful about. They had just kind of marginal results of a lot of things. The one good bad thing that they found is fairly good numbers of young of their walleye. And I say good bad because everybody likes walleye, right? But there's not a lot of forage in Lake Oahe yet. And the fact that they didn't see good reproduction of other species like perch, white bass, crappie, things like that, that doesn't add to the forage base. So we've got quite a few year classes of fish out there. I think anglers who fish Lake Oahe are probably familiar with the fact that there's a lot of smaller fish in the system. They have been there for a few years and they're not growing. We don't need another year class of walleye out there right now, but it looks like there might be one coming up.
A lot of great information, Scott. Thank you.
You're welcome.
For more information on fish stocking, fall fish reproduction surveys, what species of fish are in a lake, and more, visit the Game and Fish website at gf.nd.gov.
For Fisheries Management Section Leader Scott Gangle and the rest of the staff here at the Game and Fish Department, thanks for joining us for this week's Outdoors Online. We'll see you again next week.